It's a front row Phyllis Friday. Phyllis, front row Phyllis will be here later talking about some of the events. And actually, we got some tickets to give away. We're going to give away tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short, or Andrea Haynes, as I say, Steve Martin Short.
Yeah.
Right? Why don't they tour like that as Steve Martin Short?
I like it.
Andrea Haynes is the brains behind Blue Sky Innovation in the Chicago Tribune. She joins us on most Friday afternoons to talk about what's new in the world of tech in Chicago and innovation. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch. Nice to see you.
Thanks,
again.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
All right, let's start. Well, we got to start with the Twitter thing. I know we've been talking about Twitter, the fact that they want to reduce their characters. And I've made my feelings known on that, I think, yesterday. But there are a couple of new parts of the story I want to talk to you about. First of all, just for the writing exercise of it, I love trying to keep a concise, important message in 140 characters. I think it's a great exercise for all of us.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed.
And so,
did you see Lin-Manuel Miranda's tweet of similar nature? Like, he was sort of saying, you don't change the haiku, right? The whole point is what you can do with the form.
And
why change the form?
But that's coming from people who write for a living, too.
That's true.
Most people don't, and they probably find themselves inhibited by it. But it's also a huge branding thing. I mean, that's what they're branded as, right? So if they were to go to more than 140 characters, they're giving up a big part of that.
Yeah, the 140 has sort of become, at least among, you know, Twitter users, it's become kind of, you know, a thing. You can say 140, people know what you mean, right? Can't do it in 140 or can do it
right.
In 140. And people did some funny examples of what 280 means and how you can drone on and on and on and on. So people use the form to kind of create funny tweets about that. So I guess, you know, we all have our opinions on that. I personally, I like the 140. I like keeping it short. But as you point out, it's kind of popular for people who want to ramble to have the 280.
It's my own little Sudoku to try to make something fit in 140. And then when it doesn't, to change it, to edit it. Anyway, but so the Twitter researchers, I mean, this is all about them getting more Twitter users and more activity. They've been sort of stagnant. And they said their research shows that when you can write a longer tweet, that people tweet more often, which is kind of shocking to me.
It seems popular with people, which I'm also a little surprised. But I guess, you know, again, people aren't, maybe they don't all write as tight as those of us who do it for a living, right? And they want to be able to speak their piece.
And then I said, and then she said.
Yeah, and then blah, blah, blah. So yeah, I don't love that. But also I'm an editor, so I value conciseness, right?
Right.
They also have interesting just observations they've made on markets that use foreign languages.
And
which
we
I think
writers,
is
I just want to say, we writers value you editors.
Yes, well, thank you.
Every once in a while.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So the foreign language thing is really the coolest thing to me.
Yeah. It is kind of neat because they've looked at languages where you can say a lot more with fewer characters, some Asian, you know, languages. So those countries actually are not necessarily getting the boost because they already have a little more room to breathe. Like in Japanese, for example, a few characters say a lot. Whereas in English, you do kind of have to just use more characters to write out all our long words.
I try to find the statistics here that number of Japanese tweets that actually go to 140 characters is 0.4%.
Yeah, and in English it's 9%.
So it's just a different way of writing, different language.
It does say
different
that most
language,
English
obviously, but yeah.
Tweets actually are 34 characters, though.
Most what
so
tweets are?
Most English language tweets are 34 characters.
Right.
So that would imply that 140 should be more than enough.
You know what's more than 34 characters?
What
I say when I can't put my furniture together from IKEA.
Oh, the worst. Yeah, and they're all four-letter words, right? They're all in increments of four characters.
And not one of them is IKEA. Well, maybe one of them. So IKEA, they sell furniture. They sell this really cool stuff that you have to go home and put together.
Yes.
Big drag. And now word this week that they are acquiring TaskRabbit, that puts stuff together, does stuff around the house for you, right?
Yep. It seemed like sort of the hilarious acquisition of the week. I tweeted, you know, it's like chocolate and peanut butter, right? What could seem more natural? It's kind of like people kind of were like, whoa, that's crazy. But then they're like, wait, no, it totally makes sense. Because TaskRabbit is where you literally can post, like, please, dear God, come help me put this piece of furniture together. And you can pay somebody to do that. So IKEA is trying to offer more of those services where in the store you can book somebody to help you put the thing together. So them acquiring TaskRabbit in a way seems to make a lot of sense.
Well, and so except for the fact that TaskRabbit does a lot besides put together furniture.
That's true. They'll do all kinds of tasks and errands.
But the interesting thing to me is it's not just from IKEA. We're all buying a lot more stuff online, I would imagine, and getting things that need to be put together. So that probably will be a big growth industry.
I need TaskRabbit for breaking down the cardboard boxes that you wind up getting. And then you have to break down and recycle, right?
Andrea,
that's
I'll do that for you.
Okay.
All you got to do is get a little...
get that knife.
Yeah, exacto knife. I can do that for you. I'll take my Uber pool to your house.
Yes. So Uber also made some news this week with the Uber pool rides, which we've talked about before, named based on the idea of carpooling, where truly you're sharing your Uber ride and not just using it like a taxi service.
We talked about these guys a couple weeks ago, right? Because they're really kind of like a city bus.
Yep, exactly. So they're gathering you together for your rides, but as part of its sort of apology to the universe campaign, Uber did a couple things this week. One is they're going to pay drivers a little bit more for doing those more complicated routes. They weren't making any more money to do them before. So now if they're picking up extra people, the extra price in Chicago for the driver will be $1. And that's not all coming out. They wouldn't say how much, but that's not all coming out of the passenger's pocket. The company will cover some of that. But I also thought a sort of funny thing about this was they were also acknowledging that people don't always know what Uber Pool is. And when you open that app and you now have different options, and they all have different names, it's, you know, sounds like from what they're saying, a lot of people are getting Uber Pool and not really realizing they're doing it. And then they're like, dude, why are you in my car?
What are you doing in my car? Or you're in the car and you're like, well, why are we stopping for this guy?
Yes.
And that's
yes.
because you're in Uber Pool. All right, we just have a few seconds left, but tell me about this guy, Dan Kapanis. I'm not sure of the pronunciation, but the marathon's coming up. A lot of us are geeked out about wearing our electronic fitness gear, and this guy seems... sort of over the moon about the whole thing.
Yeah, so we just wanted to feature somebody who is kind of an IT-type person and look at how are they using tech to run better. Because we have all these gadgets, we have all these new ways to count our data. So we're going to follow him before and after the marathon and see how he does. And the funny thing about him is not only what he's doing to improve his speed, but now his wife can monitor and make sure that he actually finished the run without like having a heart attack. She actually gets a notification when he's successfully and healthy done with the run.
So it's like a personal Facebook notification for
exactly.
Dan. Okay, you can read more at chicagotribune.com at Blue Sky.
Yep, blueskyinnovation.com will also work.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
Tom Gimbel is in the studio. He's the founder, CEO of LaSalle Network. Tom, welcome back to the
Always
Business
Always good
Lunch.
To be with you.
Nice to see you. You know, we started talking about sports, you and I, and about how you could sort of translate sports to, and it started with the Cubs,
yes,
didn't it?
It did. It started with Joe Madden and how to build culture around a team and to differentiate why to make the monotonous fun, which extends itself.
And that was the positive example.
Yep.
And now here we are watching the Chicago Bears, a couple of rough situations. So we started with the idea of talking about Marcus Cooper,
yep.
who had run that field goal attempt back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nearly scored and was sort of gloating a little bit short of the fundraising.
Yeah. 1 yard line.
And then, I don't know, can we put Danny Trevathan in the same category?
Yeah, I think, you know, the difference is Trevathan doesn't have a history of violence and things like that. And so it's...
Like Cooper does have a history of sort of showboating.
Well, I think it's happened before.
Okay, okay.
And one is you can pay, it's hard to pass, well, it's easy to pass judgment. However, the fact that in a violent game, when players are running as fast as they can and they're trained to tackle people and the whole thing with targeting, I think it's real, but it's not as severe. I think the Cooper thing's a real thing.
Okay,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I interrupted you, but yeah, Trevathan last night seemed very apologetic, so let's throw him out of this conversation.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to Cooper.
So Cooper, you have an employee who is about them over the team, and this has been in any sport for a long time, is when do you want the spotlight on you? When do you do the crazy dance, and when do you hand the ball to the official? And it's easy for people that have never played in the cheap seats to say what people should or shouldn't do. But when it costs your team a touchdown and you're not a very good team to begin with,
right,
you begin to wonder where their priorities are. And it's the same thing in a company.
And so you say there are a variety of tacks you can take here.
Yeah.
You don't recommend one over the other.
Well, I recommend, for me, I believe that there's certain things. But again, everybody knows their employee base and their management style better. But the question is, do you do a public thrashing,
right?
Do you sit down with your company and your team and you say, this salesperson, this is not the behavior we want?
I would say never, ever, ever.
Right? That's usually not
that
the
ever
right
work?
Way to go. Not really. It usually turns the employee into he's gone. Right? Forgetting the team where they have a contract, the employee's going to quit.
Right.
Right? It's just a matter of time. And if they're a showboat, they're probably a pretty good self-marketer. Someone's going to hire them, right? I mean, this is to go the sports way. Terrell Owens had teams suiting up for him all the time, right? They were all standing in line to get him, even though he was a pain in the neck.
We were talking yesterday about Brandon Marshall selling a condo here for $5 million.
Right.
He never had trouble signing the next spot.
Never.
Okay, so probably
so
won't
that.
Do that. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm the nice guy. Come in, got a fire going in the fireplace, a couple of overstuffed chairs. We can say, son, now you know this probably wasn't the right thing to do. And so let's not ever do it again.
I always wonder what your living room was like.
It's overstuffed.
And so, yeah, I think that's probably the way the majority of management goes, is listen, can we talk about what you did? we really don't want that kind of behavior. And you get a lot of yeses.
But if you get a lot of yeses.
A lot of nods, like, you're right, I agree with you.
Right, but does that actually translate? Because if you're a repeater, you probably have had that conversation before.
Exactly right.
And so what
you're
do you
an
do?
Enabler. And so the last chance is you send a message to the whole company. And the question really becomes, are you a leader with discipline? And discipline, people usually think drill sergeant in the army, right? You got to beat on people all the time. That's not what discipline is. Discipline is being in a structured path to do things a certain way. And you don't have to be a jerk to have a disciplined organization or a disciplined team. You just have to follow up on what you say you're going to do. And you let somebody, and I'm not saying they should or shouldn't cut them, but you let them go. If you were to do this,
right.
You let them go. And then you sit down with the company and you say, he's a super football player. He's a super guy. He's a super salesperson. However, that's not the type of structure we want to have here, and we have to show you guys that we mean business.
I've got 30 seconds left. I'm sorry I can't think of the guy's name. There was a young shortstop who had his first chance for the Cubs yesterday or the day before, maybe the day before, and booted the ground ball.
Yeah.
And as he's running into the dugout, I'm thinking, and led to a couple of runs.
Yep.
Like, what does Joe Maddon, what does a leader, a coach, say to a player like that in that situation?
You pat him on the butt and you say, don't worry, there'll be a lot more ground balls.
Yeah, and there will be.
Then there will be. People make mistakes.
Deep into October, there are going to be ground balls deep in October.
I'll see you at Wrigley, my
friend. All right,
friend.
So the next time we sit down together, it will be game one of the NLDS.
I can't wait.
Predict right now.
I think they sweep. I think they sweep the Nationals.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take that.
I think
that.
He starts Lester in game one. I think they sweep.
Now, I don't know if you've got weekend plans yet, but we'll talk to Front Row Phyllis coming up a little bit later in the show about what's happening this weekend, a little bit of what's happening next weekend as well. Speaking of next weekend, Eric Falberg is on the phone line. He is an alderman in the town of Highwood. Eric, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Hey, don't you have another title like in charge? You're in charge of happiness or something like that? What's that other title?
Oh, yes, definitely happiness. Special events, and president of Celebrate Highwood.
That's what it is.
Everything up here.
President of Celebrate Highwood. Okay, so yes. this is going to seem sort of personal, and I don't mean it to be that, you know, I'm having you on because I am a champion of Highwood. I spend, I think, probably more time in Highwood than any other town other than my own in the summer. You know, I was at you guys have that market every Wednesday, all of these great festivals. And every time I drive into Highwood, I talk with whomever I'm with just about the ability you have to sort of capture a spirit and to foster celebrations. So tell me, first of all, about the makeup, who lives in Highwood, and then tell me about how you're able to maintain this sort of vibrancy that you do.
Well, I consider Highwood would be, if you want to picture Highwood in the suburbs, Highwood would be the Wicker Park of the North Shore.
Yeah, so I think that's fair.
That's the makeup of who we are and what we're like up here. You have a full gamut of people. It's just a wonderful place to live. We have a lot of young urbanites moving up here. And, you know, we've always been a destination community, and we just wanted to excel upon that and really show people, listen, you can have fun and a great time, and it could be a family event all at the same time.
So
it really creates a really fun community event.
And when you say about Wicker Park, you're not talking just about restaurants and the businesses there, but the population, right? I mean, it's a...
Exactly.
Highwood is... There are a lot of immigrants there. A lot of it is very much of a working-class population. Do you have affluent areas as well?
Yes. Yeah. So it's a full pocket. I mean, you have the full gamut of like pretty much everyone in this community. And for a community that's only 5,500 people,
yeah,
it's literally like living in a little city.
I tell you,
right,
and
smack in the middle of the suburbs.
I'm going to have on the show, they don't know who I am, but I would buy beer from them every Wednesday. The Kings, what is it? Kings and Crooks?
Kings and Convicts.
They have a tap room.
One guy's Australian, one guy's English. That's why you have the Kings and Convicts. Yeah, they have their own brewery. They opened up this past year here. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I talk to the Australian guy every Wednesday, and I want to have him here because they have a good story. But the point is, I would walk around that Wednesday market, that evening market, and feel like I was in the hometown, the small town I grew up in. You're in the middle of everything, and yet you guys are able to capture this real community feel where people from every sort of economic strata are there together enjoying the night together.
Yeah, and the fact of having these every Wednesday People get to know each other in the community and the surrounding communities. And when you get to know each other and you get to know the policemen, it really brings up the safety level. So our community has become one of the safest communities in Illinois over the past 8 years from doing this.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, Eric, because the police are there and they're there in a happy way. It's really good. I mean, it might be hard to understand, but, you know, the cops are there. And, you know, a couple times I've pulled into what looks like a no parking zone. He's like, yeah, go ahead. It's fine. You know, I mean, it's just a welcoming place. My question, though, the reason you're here, other than to carve up a pumpkin in a minute or two, but how is it that you create that? Is it something that forms naturally? Is it something that you guys worked to create on your own? Or how is it? How could other suburbs or other communities learn from what you do in Highwood?
Well, it really needs to be the people within the community that build it. You have a lot of communities that try to bring in people and pay organizations to build events for them. It's only going to last for a certain period of time because then everything relies on money, where everything here relies on volunteers. And when you have volunteers running things that are passionate, I think it comes through with the events.
What percentage of the celebrations that you have are attended by what percentage of the attendees are Highwood residents and how many are from outside? I think probably because the numbers are so high, a majority are going to be from outside. I guess my question is, do the Highwood residents party where they live? Do they show up at these things as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's like the night where they don't have to cook dinner on Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And whenever we have an event, they partake. It's easy for them. They can walk over. And yeah, but it's still only about 15% of the event is Highwoodians because we're such a small community. So we rely on everyone coming into our community.
Are you the guy who came up with Nashwood?
Yes. Do you like that one?
I had the time of my life this summer. Again, I'm not just giving a scrapbook of my summer. I'm hoping other people can pick up on this. But the story I hear is that you and a couple of others went to Nashville. You're like, wow, there's a great vibe here. We got to bring this back to Highwood. And so you created Nashwood, right? It's just that simple.
That's exactly it. Yeah, we go down to the mayor and I and another alderman and a few other friends. The guys trip down to Nashville, and we try to go once a year and love it. Love the music, love the atmosphere, love the food. And we feel we have a similar type setup building up here in Highwood. So why not try to capture that here? And people love the atmosphere down there. Why not do it here?
And so the idea was every bar or restaurant in Highwood for this weekend had a country music act of one form or another, an Americana music act. And you could just bounce. I mean, we started at Cellar Gate and then moved south. You could just bounce from place to place and take in different music, places that I would have never been before. So it's just another example of what you do. Okay, so the big one coming up this weekend is this Pumpkin Fest, which is also a blast. Tell people about that.
Yeah, so we start building everything this weekend. It takes about a week to put everything up. So we have to put scaffolding up, which is usually about 2-3 stories high, going down the street. They load it up with planks and lights and get everything ready. With all the pumpkins, because we get about between 20 and 30,000 pumpkins. And I need to say something. People need to bring pumpkins too. BYOP. Bring your own pumpkin, and you get into the event at no charge, and everything goes to Make-A-Wish Illinois this year.
So the idea is the goal is, I don't know if you've reached it yet, is to set a record for the most carved pumpkins lit, right?
Most carved pumpkins lit on display, and, which is 30,581.
And when will they be lit this year?
Well, we light the walls, which we call the walls. That's the scaffolding, every night.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, we light whatever we can. And on Sunday, we go for the record. So it's like each night is another dry run for Sunday when we go for everything.
We're talking to Eric Fahlberg, an alderman in Highwood, just about the success of creating community and festivals and all of that. A lot of towns try to do it. I've been to a lot of festivals around a lot of different suburbs. It's not easily captured. City as well, but they do it in Highwood. So give me one more nugget. If other village managers or aldermen are listening to the program, what is it they can do to capture what you've captured?
Get out and get your hands dirty, you know? Put a little effort in. And you'll see a comeback tenfold.
Go to Nashville.
That and go to Nashville at least once a year.
All right, Alderman, I'll run into you this weekend somewhere, I'm sure. Or next weekend.
Next weekend.
All right, we'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, yep, yo. That's from a Steve Martin album when I was in high school. He wrote when he was playing banjo way back then. He said, it's impossible to be sad when you're listening or playing the piano. Steve Martin is coming to town coming up next week. Front Row Phyllis is on a phone line to tell us about that and what else is happening. Phyllis, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you. How are you, Steve?
Fine. The album was Let's Get Small, and I had it memorized in high school. I think I probably could still recite about 80% of it, but he talked about, you know, just imagine Richard Nixon. He's walking down the beach in Clemente, and he's playing the banjo. Hip, hip, yo. You can't be sad when you're playing the banjo. And Steve Martin has been doing that forever.
He has been doing it forever, but he's got, you know, a longtime friend with him, and that's Martin Short. So they're going to be here on October 6th and 7th at Chicago Theater.
If you'll indulge me, so we started the show by talking about Twitter and how it's hard to write, you know, in a 140 characters to maintain a really cool message. So
right.
I'm thinking this concert, if you were doing that, you would call it Steve Martin Short.
I like that.
Steve Martin Short.
Exactly. That's perfect.
Do you think it will catch on?
I think so. I think I would submit it. What do you think?
I think if you get behind it, Phyllis, we got a future. All right. So what's this?
Maybe.
Does Martin Short sing while Steve Martin plays, or what happens here?
You know, here's the show. They are actually calling it An Evening You Will Forget for
oh,
the rest
yeah.
of your
I've
lives.
Heard about this show, yeah.
So it's actually filled with stand-up and film clips and, of course, musical numbers and conversation about their lives in show business. So it should be really a lot of fun. And like I said, it's on October 6th and 7th. We also have a special ticket giveaway today.
Yeah, we got a pair of tickets to give away, right?
We do for the sold-out show, which is on October 6th. And we want to thank our friends over at Nightlight Promotions and Chicago Theater for giving those to us.
All right, so let's do it this way. We'll give it away to the seventh caller who calls now at 312-981-7200. So if you're the seventh caller and you have to recite at least, no, you don't have to recite anything.
Yeah.
were you a big Steve Martin fan back in the day?
I still am a huge Steve Martin fan. I love him.
No, that's a really good point. I say back in the day just because he was kind of formative for me in high school and coming up with comedy and things like that. But L.A. Story was a favorite. But I follow him on Twitter, and he's actually retweeted a couple of things I've tweeted out, too. I met him once. Been a huge Steve Martin fan. I would love a chance to see him. Sounds like a great show. Again, it's being called the Steve Martin Short Show?
Right. Exactly.
No,
we're going to put that. I think we both should just tweet on that and see who gets it picked up,
the
right?
Steve Martin Short. I can't imagine it hasn't come up with before. Okay, so there are a couple of big stars coming to the Chicago Theater. Another guy, and I didn't realize Dennis Quaid was in a rock band or a musical group. What are they? Who's?
I know. Isn't that funny? He's actually, so they say in his spare time, this is what he says, he writes songs and performs with his band. And he's been doing this for quite some time, and the band is called The Sharks, and they will be over at the Arcata Theater on September 30th, which is tomorrow evening. And he says he has so much fun that he just makes a complete fool of himself, and he says that's the only way to get up on stage and just have a good time.
What kind of music do they play? Do you know, Phyllis?
You know what? I think it's kind of like a little bluegrass soul.
Oh, okay.
Type, that type of music. So, you know, it should be pretty pretty fun. So I would definitely check that out tomorrow.
Watch that at the Arcata Theater. You've got another name on this list, and I don't know much about PJ Masks.
Okay. See, your kids are older. These are for the little guys. This is PJ Masks. It's a big, hot show. It's going to be at Chicago Theater tomorrow and on Sunday, and it's called The Time to Be a Hero, and you get a chance to see some of your best friends, and that's Catboy, Owlette, and Gecko, and they are going to be saving the day from their sneaky villains.
All right, just for kicks. Just for kicks, tell me, who are my best friends again?
Okay, so here's your best friends. Catboy.
Owlette.
And Gecko. Right.
Okay. And they're all going to be at the Chicago Theater.
They are going to be at the Chicago Theater. And you know what's great is that the Chicago Theater, actually, there's three different performances. So there's a morning, afternoon, and evening that you could catch. So it's something for everybody.
So I'm assuming the evening one's not just for parents, though, right? Kids are still welcome.
Oh yeah. Oh no, it's not like late evening. I think it's about like 5:30, 6 o'clock evening.
Okay. One other one I want to hit on here is Rock of Ages, and I've got to say I've pretty much been successfully avoiding Rock of Ages for about 30 years now.
Oh really? That's a shame.
Really? Isn't this about the big-haired 80s music?
It is. Big egos, big guitar solos, and of course, big hair. You named it. And, you know, it actually was nominated for 5 Tonys. It's going to feature over 28 classic 80 rock band music. And from everything from, you know.
Come on, 28. Bon Jovi. There were 28. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, there were probably 28 within all these bands. So you're talking Bon Jovi and Styx and Journey. And then, of course, it follows the story of the rock star Drew and his sweetheart as they fight to save Hollywood's Sunset Strip. So it's a great show. It runs now through October 15th. It's over at Drury Lane in Oak Brook.
All right, go check that out. Front Row Phyllis, great to talk to you again. Yeah. It was nice. We'll do it a couple weeks.
You too, and I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.